Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week we're going to continue a discussion we started last week about something you call wealth reception. Now, review for us. What is it? What do you mean by wealth reception?
Well, wealth reception is really the idea of the beneficiary point of view versus the creator's point of view. So most estate planning is done from the creator's point of view. Someone walks into the office, they want to be a client, and how they want to treat their money or how they want to get money to someone in certain percentages, whether it's family, other family members, children, charities, the list goes on of where money goes. Mm. However, the typical estate planner's viewpoint is, what do you want, creator? And there's very little talked about. There's very little focus on the idea of whether or not the receivers, the inheritors, are ready to receive this money and are going to use it in a way that actually blends and fulfills the creator's long-term vision. Mm. So as believers, I can sit here and we can talk about the idea that God loves legacy. He created everything to have legacy. We are to pass on legacy. There, a bunch of different scriptures would certainly lead us to the conclusion that God is forward-thinking, not backward-thinking. So if that is true, then are we likewise thinking forward concerning how our inheritance is going to be used? Instead of simply just giving money away, here, I'm dead, I'm gone, my kids will take over, and whatever they do, que sera, sera. Well, I'm not so sure that's the heart of God. And so wealth reception is really concentrating on the positioning of the inheritors to ensure that they are financially ready, emotionally ready, that they have the maturity to carry out the vision that you want, that they're spiritually ready. And so so it's a unique perspective. Instead of looking at the taxes first and the wealth first, in other words, how do we just mitigate taxes? How do we move wealth? Really, what wealth reception is concentrating on is first taking care of the creator, but then looking at intently at the family, looking intently at where does the money go to ensure that legacy can actually be fulfilled.
Is this more of a concern with somebody who has a large estate, do you think? Maybe if they're going to be receiving a big chunk of money versus not a lot of money?
Well, I'm not so sure that we can find a real biblical premise to say, if I don't have much, I'm no longer required to be a steward. So I believe that all of us as believers are called to proper stewardship. And I've used this terminology a lot on my show, which is stewardship in the New Testament means an administrative giver. It doesn't mean an administrative hoarder. It doesn't mean administrative protector. It means an administrative giver. In other words, we are to be looking at how do we utilize what God has placed in our hands to build his kingdom. And so whether that's with a little or whether that's with a lot, I'm not so sure that any of us get to sidestep our responsibility with what God has given. So it's either we believe God has given us everything that is in our hands, whether that is monetarily a little or a lot, and therefore we have a responsibility as believers to look towards our Creator to say, what do you desire for me to do with what you have placed in my hands? And I believe that that is not only during our lifetime, but that is actually setting up a proper estate plan to ensure that the vision God has given us with our finances is carried out long term. And so there's many businesses that have been started with a small startup cost. So let's say $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. And if someone has to receive an inheritance of a smaller portion, who is to say that they are not going to be the next one to take that small seed and plant it into the right place in the business environment and allow it to then become far, far more and be able to utilize it in a way that that God has already planned. So therefore, the question is, what is vision compared to how do we qualify or disqualify ourselves from the conversation of actually leaving legacy properly?
Okay. Well, do you think that your approach here then is unique in estate planning?
Well, it really is. First of all, I obviously focus a lot on the scriptural point of view in creating plans. Now, not every single one of my clients is a believer. So when the opportunity is available, we can discuss more of what it doesn't mean to have a biblical viewpoint of estate planning. But even for those who are non-believers, they still get Paul Grant at the core, right? And so I'm always thinking about legacy. I'm always thinking about how do we protect the next generation? And all of that is encompassed within my viewpoint as a person and as an attorney. So I believe that I have two distinct callings within being an attorney. Number one, protect my client. So how do I best protect my client? And what that means is every individual needs power of attorneys. And those are the legal mechanisms that protect the client to ensure that anything that they need during their lifetime, whether it's access to their finances, whether it's healthcare decisions, end-of-life decisions, these things may not, a client may not be able to speak towards what they desire because they may have a health issue, they may have a mental issue that stops them from truly speaking into it. So therefore, these documents protect somebody during their lifetime, as well as so does a revocable living trust to ensure that the money is going to be utilized in a way that they have determined in advance before any disability. So that's step number one. How do I protect individuals? And yes, I believe that that approach, that thought process just there is unique in the marketplace. It's not about getting a document and putting your name into a predetermined document. It's about making sure that an individual is well protected and what are the potential roadblocks during our lifetime that we will encounter. I want to think through those with a client to ensure that what they envision, how they envision being taken care of during their lifetime is clearly reflected in a document. So that is unique. And then after a client passes away, then we can change our focus to the next generation, which is how do we protect them? How do we protect them from money being taken, or how do we protect them from actually not fulfilling the vision and the purpose of what was passed to them? So that is likewise, I believe, unique in the industry. So most of the industry is built off of standard documentation versus actually sitting down with clients, understanding what their needs are first, then understanding the full needs of the family and the vision that the creator has for the family with what they are about to pass on, whether it's a little or a lot. So yeah, unfortunately, most of the industry, most legal documents are just that. They are templated documents. They are legal documents at the core, and they're not family-driven. They're not creator-driven to ensure that the vision of the creator is actually carried out during their lifetime and when they pass away.
Well, you employ something called a planning pyramid. Now, that sounds pretty unique. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, and that's really just piggybacking off of what I just said, which is most estate planners talk about taxes, want to protect taxes, and then talk about wealth. And everything is driven off of a predetermined format in the legal document versus the pyramid should be stabilized first. So if you think of a pyramid that's on its point, if you flip that upside down and it's actually on its base like it should be, the base should be about the individual, about the creator, what their desires are, what their intent is. And then the next step should be, what is the family vision? What are the skill sets of the family? And then as we move up the pyramid to the smaller portions, really the last piece should be the taxes and the legal piece of the pyramid. So I talk to people about what is the easiest piece to do in a jigsaw puzzle. So most
the corners
people,
and the
corners, the edges, right? Mm-hmm. And so my proposition is that the last piece is the easiest piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. You'd no longer have to think about it. It drops into place and it gives you, and it reveals the whole picture. That's really what the law and taxes should be. It should really be the last piece from the attorney's perspective that gets dropped into it to protect the vision and the purposes of the client themselves. The purpose and vision that the client has should be the borders and the outside and should be stabilizing everything that is put into place through the rest of the jigsaw puzzle. Unfortunately, what I see oftentimes in legal documents is that the borders are really the legal issues, are the tax issues, and then everything else, the family's desires and who the children are put into the middle of the puzzle, really giving very little thought towards what are the skill set and the needs of the family, unless you have a very specific issue, which is my little son Johnny is a drug addict, or little Susie has a known special needs issue, or whatever the case may be. Then those things can be addressed in almost any estate plan. But really, it's the good child that gets forgotten in estate planning. Hmm. They just get a check written to them, and I hope life treats you well, instead of actually considering what do they truly need as a foundation to set up their financial future, because they are responsible, because they will do well with what is handed off to them. They're the ones who are almost always forgotten in estate planning. Hmm. We focus on the one who needs the help. And yes, let's help those who need help, but not at the sacrifice of the other children who are actually going to do well. And unfortunately, that's where most estate planning, I believe, fails dramatically, is that they overfocus on taxes, they overfocus on law, and they overfocus, or they only focus, I guess, on a child who needs assistance, forgetting everybody else and simply writing a check, and I hope everything is good. So, yes, the planning pyramid restructures the focus and the priority to be about the individual instead of the taxes and the law.
Okay, interesting discussion. Wealth reception, making sure everything is happening smoothly as you transition to heaven and your family is left behind to try and build something with what you've given them. There are ways to do this creatively and effectively, following your plans. We'll discuss this more as we come back from a break here in just a moment. People are intrigued. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up. And there's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, Paul is discussing wealth reception, how to pass on your estate to your loved ones, your charities, whatever you have determined. And there is a proper way for wealth reception. to happen? And what does that mean, a proper way for wealth reception?
Well, and it goes back to what we were talking about before break, which is the proper way. Number one is, how does the creator envision the money being utilized long-term in the hands of the next generation?
And you can really control that with your plan, with your estate plan.
Well, you really can. Okay. And you know, a lot of people are object to the term control. I don't want to control from the grave.
Well, that's what it kind of said. When you're talking like this, it makes it sound, instead of just, here's the money and I hope you do well with it.
Yeah.
If that's not what you wanted, you can really set out some rules.
Well, you can. And of course,
that money's used after you're gone.
Yeah. And as you would imagine, I deal with people of all types and all different backgrounds and different viewpoints, whether Christian or non-Christian. I deal with multiple Christians that have multiple viewpoints on how they want to set up an estate plan. So none of us are the same. And that's, you know, that really is a key point as well, which is, if we all use the same document and we're not the same and we all have different values, how do we get to create a plan that would demonstrate the different purposes, values that I personally have versus Mark, your situation? Because our lives are different. And so therefore, could the same templated document work for your family versus my family? Now, we know each other well enough just to simply say no, that would actually not possibly work. So therefore, so how does it work for anyone else? Your next door neighbor has exactly the same plan. That's not going to work either. And so our individual uniqueness has been given as a gift to us, and we need to use that in estate planning as well. So as we look at what's the proper way? Well, number one, the question is, I don't know, because I don't know who you are yet. I don't know what you have envisioned. The proper way is, first of all, what do you desire as far as transitioning what you do have, whether it's a little or a lot, transitioning that to the next generation? Some people will just simply say, not too complicated, just give it to them, and I really don't want to intervene. Other people are very, very different to say, actually, I really do need to intervene on my family. They don't have great financial skills. They haven't been taught, or they don't have the education necessary to receive what I am going to give them. Or they have life issues that are in the way. They have suspect marriages, and I'm really concerned that a walking away spouse would actually have a claim against what I am going to give my children. Mm. There's so many things that could intervene to someone else taking an inheritance from the ones that you love and the ones that you've prepared this for.
Well, here's a scenario I would think. Can you stipulate in your plan, you can only use like 10% of what I'm giving you to blow? The rest of it has to be used. You must invest it with a good stock portfolio, or you must invest it only in education, or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Things that you think are a better way to spend money than maybe the inheritor.
Correct. And yes, this is a philosophical difference. So number one,
can't spend it on a car.
Or you can only use so much, like what you said.
Yeah,
you can only use so much to just do whatever you want, and whether that's vacations, whether that's buying a new car, whether whatever that means to you. But the other money, I want to make sure has a distinct purpose driven behind it, because I want to perpetuate a family value that comes from me. And by the way, the idea that this money is no longer mine is actually a legal fallacy. And so so the idea that says I'm dead so it's no longer mine, actually a trust says exactly the opposite. I've created the rules and the guidance around it, so therefore technically by law it still is under my management, my voice to say this is how we're going to utilize the funds. Some individuals would say, I want to make sure that 20% of anything you receive is given to charity. I'm not going to tell you how or what charities to use.
But you could.
But there could still be a passion and a heart that says, I want my kids to learn generosity, or they are very generous, and so I want them to use a certain amount towards that vision and towards that goal. But here, coming back to one of the main points is the first thing I believe that we all need to do as believers is we need to stop our world and we need to ask our Heavenly Father, what is it, Heavenly Father, that you desire for me to do with what you have given me? Instead of rely upon whatever it is that our natural instinct may be. The natural instinct is, well, I'll just give it to them, and God will tell them what to do. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they don't have a relationship that is as strong as yours to hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe they're believers, but yet they just haven't risen to the maturity level of understanding how to hear God's voice and respond to it. Maybe they're not walking with the Lord at all. And so therefore, you want to set aside something that would actually be used for God's kingdom purposes without actually removing that wayward child from the estate plan. So there's so many things that we can do with a plan. The question is, what is the heart of God that He has given you so that you know what to do with it? I just, the thing I guess I push against in all of Christianity is, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it a natural response that we're doing? Is it just us? So is it just us creating a plan that says, I give it to my kids because that's what everyone does, or that's emotionally what I want to do, instead of being servants under the Most High God to go and seek His face and say, Father, this is what you have given me, so therefore I submit to your will. What do you want with this money? And that is really what I believe stewardship is all about. Stewardship is the act of actually submitting ourselves to the Most High God, which is what we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis anyways. So what is it, Father? How do you want to speak to me so that I can capture the right vision and then fulfill that vision, not just here on earth, but also with my last breath of creating an estate plan that would mirror what does God want done with what He has put into your hands? So this is really nothing different than us fulfilling our Christian duty, which is I am here to submit myself to the Lord Most High and to do what He beckons me to do. And so that should happen not just with my daily lifestyle, but that should happen with my daily finances and with my monthly and my annual finances and certainly with my estate plan as a whole. What is it, Father, that you desire for me to do so that I am an obedient servant, so that I am the final one that actually does well with what you've put into my hands? So I only push back on the thought process that it just simply has to go to the kids equally. Maybe that's exactly what God will tell you, but that's my heart's cry to the kingdom, to kingdom believers, which is, have you confirmed that with your Heavenly Father? And if so, let's go. Let's do it exactly that way then.
Well, it sounds like a trust is more able to accomplish the more creative aspects of what you're describing. Can a will do the same thing? Can a will pass on this wealth reception in a proper way?
Well, so yes, it could, if indeed that when you come to the office and you say, this is what God has spoken to my heart, this is what I have a desire to do, then yes, a will might be a proper instrument. So we only have two instruments as an estate planner. Number one is a will. What a will does is that it really does write a check. So in other words, at the end of the day, it acts very similar to a beneficiary designation. If you have a beneficiary designation on your bank account, for example, then what that is that it's a legal contract with the bank that says, when you die, the bank will fulfill this one obligation, this last obligation, which is get the money, whatever is left over, to the individuals who are named. And a will operates very similarly. So a will then operates in that it says, here's the person who's going to close my estate. In Washington, we call that a personal representative. Other places, it's known as an executor. So the personal representative then is named. That's the person who legally can sign your name should you pass away. Then it tells a bunch of court instructions. Hey, court, stay out of my business to the greatest degree possible. I think we all want that. Actually, in Washington state, we do have statutes that say, court, unless we come to you, then you can just stand by. In other words, the court will not intervene in a probate unless they are beckoned to come in and do so. And then lastly, it says, give money to these individuals. So all it's going to do is it's going to write a check to the individuals. So could a will accomplish what God has placed in your heart? Yes, it's possible, but my proposition is that it's probably unlikely that a will can actually match the needs of most individuals, both to protect them during their lifetime, because that's my first job, is to protect the client, then hand things off to, in the proper way, back to the next beneficiary. But we're going to have to take up this topic next show as well.
Kind of opened a can of worms there with the trust versus the will for wealth reception. Talking about wealth reception this week, we will continue this discussion next time. People are intrigued. They want to know more about the way you approach this. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcasts, there's ways to communicate with us, and also upcoming educational seminars that discuss all of this information. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.